Hey, welcome back to another episode of the as yet untitled Adam Savage Project. I'm Will. With me, as always, Adam Savage.
Adam Savage, hello. How are you?
It's still untitled. We're still soliciting titles.
Yep.
We're waiting for the perfect one at this point.
It's like naming a baby.
Norman Chan, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right.
It seems like I just saw you moments ago.
Yeah. Some people don't name their babies for a few months.
Can you do that? Not have a name?
You can, actually.
On a birth certificate.
I also know people that have changed their baby's name after a couple years.
Do you have to go to a judge, or can you just...
Yeah, no, you have to do an official name change at that point. Once you fill out that birth certificate, it's done.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Social Security.
It's a good deadline. People, you know, gets you to commit.
We actually... one of my sons is named Riley, R-E-I-L-L-Y. We were originally planning to name him R-I-L-E-Y.
Okay, like life of.
Right.
Rather than, okay.
But the moment we met him, when we were filling out the birth certificate, we were looking at him. We're like, that doesn't look right.
It
just didn't work
tell.
For him. Yeah, we just could tell. Oh. We changed it.
Well, I mean, the naming of a human being, like naming a dog is scary, but naming a human being, you have to really. Well, I mean, but naming a pet is a commitment. You're going to call the pet by that for like 12, 13 years.
Also, naming a pet is practical because animals can respond better to certain syllables and sounds. Yeah.
But naming a human being, our friend Gary is about to have his first child, and at least that he's aware of. And he's going through the whole, I think they probably have a name picked out at this point, but he went through the whole process of
there are many considerations,
terrible solicitations from all of his friends and family.
You can't let other people and get into that process. Then once you let other people into your head and that kind of thing, you're boned. It's just between you and the mom.
Plus that's why there's an entire industry of books and apps that you think people sell.
It's a terrible idea. Don't
book of her names.
Don't
drop
the pencil in the book.
Don't need the name that was the most popular one, you know, this year. And
that's actually we got a second dog a few years ago, a little wire terrier, and we named her Maggie. It worked perfectly. And I gravitated towards the name because I like names with a lot of nicknames. So we call her Mags, Maggers, Maglicious, Magpie. And then I looked it up on something. It's like the second most popular dog name. I hate being part of the zeitgeist.
Well, you were above Spot and Rover. So
no, Max. Max is the
Max. Oh, really?
Yeah, Max is like the dog name.
I wonder if you could look through those names and how that would be a reflection of culture. Oh, there's fashion. Yeah.
There are articles every year because somebody releases a list of the most popular
Social
baby
Security
names. That
agency
name.
Does. Yeah. Yeah. There's an app for it too.
Is there really?
Yeah, you can. We did an app of the day with it and found out the relative popularity of our names over the last 100 years. It was very interesting.
Will was very
your names
popular.
Have both been all three of our names.
Well, so my first name is Verlin, though. It's a family name from North Carolina. Like Verlin.
I'm scanning for jokes. I can't get anything.
People mispronounced it in really creative ways.
Don't be a bully, Adam.
I was just thinking, actually, someone was like, well, yeah, those are holes. Those are made by gophers or voles. And I just said, you know, honestly, I know that they don't know what they're called, but if they did, I think voles would be pretty pissed off. They'd be like, what the hell?
Voles,
you get to be called gophers, which just sounds like you need a cuddle.
This is a little bit touchy for Will because he went to the University of Tennessee and they're the Vols.
Oh.
Yeah, the Volunteers. It's a shortened version of the name.
See, vol sounds like something you go to the doctor to have removed with the laser.
No, those are, well, maybe. I like things that start with V for fairly obvious reasons, people.
Look, once your feet go Verlin, then you have to have them scraped.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. So this is a good time to talk about this week's topic, bullying.
you know, my middle name is Whitney.
That goes both ways.
Yeah. Adam's, that's awkward. And with Adam Savage, the kids would call me Adam Sandwich.
I can see that. I mean, you'd think with a name like Savage, though, you'd have gotten a pass.
Does anyone get a pass?
No one ever gets a pass.
Find me the person that got a pass. I remember, you know, well, I remember you used to get teased because you'd be caught picking your nose.
Yeah.
But then there was a kid who picked his nose just so much that he actually, it was like a point of pride.
He
had a nickname, like, Dig'em Smacks.
Right. And you don't ever want to sit at his desk because it's really bad under
just
there.
Sit there. Going for it.
But you'd also make fun of the kid who didn't pick his nose and had a big booger hanging out, too. Right. So really, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
That was the Bart Simpson Tell Me a Paradox. your chance if you do, yes. if you don't.
Yes. Early Simpsons. We're talking about
I was going to say,
you were going to do a gentle segue, and I ruined it. I apologize. You know the defining characteristic of the podcast, right?
Will ruins segues.
It's an inability to not comment on a good segue after you make one. That's the across all the spectrum.
Oh, okay.
Everybody who does podcasts, you make a good segue, and then you say, "Man, that was a really great segue. Congratulations, guys!
Excellent."
Back.
Next time I'm gonna bring my actual segue and have it here.
You don't play polo though, do you?
I have. If you look right behind you, you see a duct taped thing. That is in fact a Segway polo mallet. It was offered to me to come down and play in the game with Woz.
Uh huh.
I'm afraid of him.
He seems like he's hell on
wheels. I feel like he would have totally doctored his segue to go above spec. Oh,
above the 17 miles per hour.
12.
Is it 12?
13, okay. I think. 12. Three numbers, three men.
The internet will tell us which one's right. Yeah, it's not very fast.
It's 12. It's 12.
Okay.
My father is the only person who's ever fallen off of one of those rental segways.
No, actually, a rental. Well,
from Segway of San Francisco, we went on the tour one time when they were here, and he wiped out going over a bump.
You can. I had one of my producers seriously injured herself on a Segway going too fast and hitting the wrong thing.
It is really a comfort thing. Like if you have no confidence in your ability to stop, because the machine does all the work for you, unless the power runs out. It really is. We all know what we're talking about when
kids, when I first got the Segway, we went out to a park, and within 10 minutes, my kids had both been run over by it.
Oh my God.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Segway polo.
That's good.
I described that in the passive tense because one ran over the other one, and then I ran over that one.
That's good.
Again, both by accident.
And again, the topics of this week's show is bullying.
Skepticism
with a K. So this is nothing to do with the Greeks who were from the town of Skeptic or Skepta or whatever, and
not that
just
I
generally
know.
Didn't believe anything.
No, MythBusters has placed Jamie and I squarely into the middle of the skeptical community. It was not a place we intended to go. It was actually a place I knew a lot about. I had already spent – the skeptical community in the United States right now is represented by a bunch of different factions. And factions sounds like they work against each other, and they don't.
It's like not a anarcho-syndicalist commune or anything like
that. No. And so you've got Michael Shermer over at Skeptic Magazine, and he's been running that magazine forever, and he's a wonderful public speaker and does a lot of publicity, television, and he does active debates with people on things that I wouldn't go near, and he's written a whole bunch of books on skeptics. One of the other main bastions is my friend James Randi. Now, James Randi was a magician, and he was effectively the David Blaine of the 50s and the early 60s.
Amazing Randi.
And he did things like escape from a straitjacket over Niagara Falls and set the world's record for holding his breath, and really considered himself an inheritor of Houdini's mantle.
Yes.
My first exposure to James Randi was, I think, 1972 or 3 when he appeared on Happy Days helping Fonzie do the milk can escape. But somewhere in 2004 or 2005, Randi called me up. And, "Hi, Adam, it's James Randi." I was like, "Wow, hi." And he said, "Listen, I do this thing called The Amazing Meeting every year in Las Vegas, and I'd be really honored if you would come and Jamie would come and speak at it. You guys are my heroes." And I was like, "Fuck you, James Randi. I can't be your hero. You're like my hero." I had already spent dozens of hours at the James Randi Educational Foundation's website looking at the history. I mean, I'm bouncing all around. The thing is that feeling like an inheritor of Houdini's mantle, Randi takes it very seriously that he makes magic, but it is a manufactured perception of magic. And Houdini went around debunking fake psychics.
Yes, right. The charlatans.
The charlatans. And he, to him and to anybody who thinks about it, it's disgusting for someone to take parlor tricks and use them to cheat people out of money. It is.
And emotional.
Emotional. Yeah, in the worst possible way.
What's the guy's name that speaks to from beyond?
John Edwards.
John Edwards.
Did you see that David Cross joke? David Cross does this bit where he goes, What was that show where the guy gets up on stage and pretends to talk to spirits? Was it no, that was Church. That was Church.
Wow.
I know.
It was extremely popular, that show.
Yeah. Edwards. Yeah. I mean, so these people are, as Tim mentioned, says, they are either lying or mentally ill.
The medians.
The mediums. So James Randi has had a thing called the James Randi Challenge, the Amazing Challenge, which is at this point he's got $1 million in escrow that he will give to anyone who can prove to him that they have a paranormal ability. Okay. Now, the test usually works pretty much like this. This person says, I can read while blindfolded. He says, great, come and do your thing. You can do it in however you do it, using your blindfold, using your thing. But what you're representing is that you can read with your eyes completely shut. So after you do it your way, you do it our way. And they tell the people what to expect. We are going to tape we're going to glue your eyes shut. Then we're going to tape with a medical adhesive that we can take off when we want to. Then we're going to tape them. Then we're going to put black tape over it. Then we're going to put tape around it and a blindfold. Then we're going to cover your head with a bag. And then we're going to hand you a newspaper and see if you can read. And shockingly, they couldn't.
You know, the $1 million is still in the bank account.
Safe. The safest $1 million in the world right
now. Houdini did the same thing. He would go to mediums and debunk them. You know,
yes. Now, one of the things that frequently happens with the $1 million challenge is that people will back out just before they do it.
They get the publicity of, I'm going to take on the $1 million Randi challenge.
And they almost always follow the same script, which is they back out and then they say that Randi backed out.
Oh, no. Oh, well, of course.
Yeah.
Then you're going for the correction rather than the front page story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When did you stop beating your wife, right?
Yeah.
I'm sort of bouncing. It's a big subject, talking about modern skepticism, but it effectively asks that people look at things with a critical eye and not just take things as facts.
Well, and it's even more important in a world where video editing tools are really easy and readily available, and CG stuff is cheap and easy. Maybe not as easy and cheap as actually going out and faking something, but a lot of times.
And to be skeptical is very different than to be cynical.
It is incredibly different. And in fact, it does not mean to be an atheist. There are plenty of believers within the skeptical community. And some of them are really great, dear, close friends of mine. So it's really, like I said, we can touch upon it here. But if you want to learn about the skepticism, you can go to the JREF website, James Randi Educational Foundation website. You can go to Skeptic Magazine, Michael Shermer's website. And you can look at, one of the other things is there are some patron saints of the skeptical community. And they're people like Penn and Teller, my friend, the magician Jamie Ian Swiss, the musician Tim Minchin or Jill Sobule. These are entertainers who, while entertaining, also are giving you a critical analysis of the universe at the same time. I mean, Penn and Teller's show, man, they make fun of people being in Vegas. Vegas!
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do this thing where they kind of deconstruct the illusion as it's happening. So you know what's happening and you still can't believe that it's happening in front of you.
That's always been a central theme.
Which is, I guess, the core thing that they do, but when they actually spelled it out and did it.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's the thing with both Randi and Penn and Teller, magicians, right? Where you're talking about illusion. Admitting up front that what they do is not mystical and magical, that doesn't take away from how wonderful it is and the craft and the art and the technique. And that, in some senses, is even more amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, a great magician once said that magicians are the most honest. Magic is the most honest of professions because the magician promises to fool you and then he does. Or she does.
Yes. Does skepticism include the things like Richard Dawkins and the?
Oh, absolutely. Dawkins is absolutely one of the god figures of the skeptical movement, and so was the late Christopher Hitchens.
Right.
I once sat next to Hitchens at a panel at the amazing. So also James Randi's group gets together in Las Vegas every year. I wasn't able to be there last year because of a wedding. My best friend's wedding. I'm not able to go this year because it's Comic-Con weekend, which is killing me. I plan to go next year. I've been there four or five times, and it's always an amazing, amazing gathering. I've made some of my best friends in the world at this place. People like the Bad Astronomer, Phil Plait, Jamie Ian Swiss, Penn and Teller, Eric Mead. Some of these people are just some of my favorite humans in the world. And the great part is that they all – I shouldn't give that away. No, I will tell. There's a skeptical meeting in Vegas, and they always get block discounts for the rooms, but it's in Vegas. They're getting a discount because the casino hopes to gamble, but they're skeptics, so none of them are gambling. Right.
It's the old Comdex joke where the IT guys go to Vegas and you go to the casino during Comdex, and there's nobody there. It's empty.
Right, so right.
There's a couple of grandmothers and nobody else.
They can do math.
Yeah.
So Dawkins, yeah. Sam Harris is another one. Now, I mean, Dawkins and Sam Harris are very much in the progenitors of the atheist movement. And there's a lot of crossover here, obviously.
Right. It's a topic of concern to people.
But, you know, one of the things that the skeptics often talk about is how to promote critical thinking without it sounding like cynicism or without being a douchebag. I mean, because it's easy to say that it's stupid to believe something that isn't real until you're standing in front of someone who believes it. And then our cultural norms and our desire and our empathy for other human beings, our desire to understand them, you're just not going to say to someone that you're an idiot because we don't do that.
Unless you're kind of a sociopath.
People. Yeah, exactly. And therein lies, you know, doing rather than telling. And that's where I'm very proud to be part of that community on Mythbusters, because we don't ever call anybody an idiot for believing anything, because what do on the show? We're wrong just like every single episode multiple times, and sometimes for an entire episode until we do another episode and get it right.
Professionally wrong.
That's my job.
Well, and a lot of times, even if there's not a shared even if you disagree about something massive and fundamental, then you're still concerned about the other things, the other issues surrounding it, like the energy stuff and global warming. You cannot care about global warming at all, completely disbelieve that global warming is a thing, and still be super concerned about energy use and the escalating use of energy in the United States and the world. And they're two sides of the same problem. Fixing one helps with the other, whether you believe in the other or not.
And there's a lot of dissent within the community. I mean, meeting, you can run into a bunch of truther nut jobs about 9/11 and the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Well, the idea that's called the skeptics movement, to be skeptical, that itself means that you're skeptical against something. It's reactionary.
It is
different from just being a critical thinker.
But and one of the lovely things about the amazing meeting is there's a lot of disagreement, and I really enjoy that. I like getting together with people who are outspoken and ballsy and bold about their opinions, like Penn or Paul Provenza, and start to yell back and forth. I'm from New York. That's conversation to me. Oh, you're a total idiot. How could you believe that? That movie was terrible. That kind of thing. You know, out here in California, I kind of miss that, where everyone's a little too nice sometimes.
Very polite until they get on the road.
Yeah, for a long time, I found the only way I could get an argument out of a San Franciscan was going, I loved Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh. Wow. I'm skeptical. And on that note,
you think that's it?
Yeah, we're at 20 minutes.
Well, but, runs for a few minutes before we start.
Oh, well, where can other people find more information about this?
We should post it after this podcast up on Tested. But the James Randi site, jref.org, Michael Shermer's site, Skeptic, also Richard Dawkins. Reading any Richard Dawkins, reading Christopher Hitchens is just a wonderful exercise in reason and clarity, honestly. Sam Harris has written some beautiful books. And, you know, honestly, if you're in Las Vegas this July, if you want to come to Las Vegas this July, the weekend of, I believe, the 12th, the 13th, or the 13th, 14th, and 15th, the amazing meeting is happening there then. And it is a great time. It is a great group of people.
Sounds good. Thanks, Adam. We'll be back next week with another episode of the as yet untitled Adam Savage Project. For Adam and Norm, I'm Will. See you guys later.
All right. Bye, guys.